The 82-game preseason is in the books, and it's finally time for the real season. Don't miss out on any of the NBA playoff action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. From the play-in tournament through the finals, DraftKings Sportsbook has you covered. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code SMASH. New customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets instantly. That's code SMASH, only on DraftKings. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in West Virginia. Visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 and over, age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.co/bball for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
It's a Thursday here on the Blogging the Boys Podcast Network, and of course that means it's time to get riled up on the Cowboys, the Dallas Cowboys, with my man Tom Ryle and your boy Roy White at RW3 on Twitter. You can find him at Tom Ryle BTB, and of course you can find all the great content bloggingtheboys.com and on the Twitter sphere at bloggingtheboys. A little bit stepping into the doldrums of the off season, Tom, as we kind of have to cling to the small bits and pieces of sound bites that we might get from the Cowboys front office or the news that trickles out here and there. But we actually did get a little bit of news coming out from OTAs. The Cowboys held their second of what will be 8 organized team activities yesterday. And there was a lot of news to come from that. Now, if you want the full recap, of course, go to bloggingtheboys.com, check out our man RJ Ochoa's article. And of course, you can listen to his daily podcast that we cover here on the Blogging the Boys Podcast Network. That'll provide you all the ins and outs of that. Tom, you and I had a different topic that we would already be discussing this evening. So for us, I would just like to get your take on what you felt like was the biggest piece of news, the piece of news that should have Cowboys fans the most excited, or maybe one that you were looking at that said, I know it's early, but I have concerns. Anything out of OTAs for the Cowboys that had you feeling either way on that one?
There were some injury things that I'm just going to say it's early. Let's not get too concerned about that until training camp. The one thing that kind of made me hopeful was the news that they are indeed apparently working more with both Ezekiel Elliott and Tony Pollard on the field. But even with that, you know, they've teased this before, and we're going to have to see, as I put it, we have to see if Kellen Moore doesn't get amnesia about that. If he can remember that there are things you can do with both of them, especially with Pollard in the slot. Bob Stern had an excellent article at The Athletic showing some of the things that could lead to. And he expressed a lot of frustration. The Cowboys actually were trying it some early and then just got away from it. So it's, as I said, a sign maybe for a little bit of hope, but I ain't going to believe it like everything else until I see them actually follow through in the regular season. What about you? What did you see?
Yeah, I'm kind of right there with you. I mean, obviously, I'm thrilled about Tony Pollard getting some work in the slot, and maybe that, you know, gives them, you know, another weapon that hopefully they will be consistent with. Like you said, they've shown it in the past, and then almost Jason Garrity have gone back to what we know and what we're comfortable with. Right. And that's not something that they've proven to be comfortable with, at least in the training camps that I covered out there. There was never really a major part of the game plan was getting two running backs on the field on a regular basis. So it's nice to see in the second week of OTAs that is what they're doing. I mentioned the concern because I know it's early, and I know we're saying not until training camp is when we're going to worry about it. Backs don't get better, and they don't get better for 300-pound physical specimens like Tyron Smith. And to know that He woke up with back tightness this morning, and that prevented him from practicing on a random May at a time in which I assume he's probably done nothing physically exerting in the past several months that might have further exacerbated this issue. This is just the reality of what we're living with. And perhaps it's a sign that the Cowboys knew that it's maybe getting worse at a rate that even we might not be comfortable with as fans. And I think we all know it's getting worse, but they maybe understand it's getting worse at a faster rate. And that's why the Tyler Smith pick matters. You know, for those that are asking, Tyler Smith worked with the second team offense. Not too much to read into there, as the Cowboys typically do work in their younger players into the first team. They got to earn their spot, as they say. But let's be honest, right? The guys that get drafted tend to get played here in Cowboys land. So I think those two particular ones are probably the two big pieces that most Cowboys fans are going to key in on.
Yeah, also doing a little bit of an addendum to your concerns. I think that's why they picked up Matt Letzko as well. I think they're hoping he might be another layer of insurance. I just, you know, fifth round pick, but we'll probably be mentioning his name a little bit later on in this podcast when we get into our main topic.
Yeah. So speaking of that main topic, right. And again, we're always looking at things to kind of take a fresh look and a fresh perspective to give you something to look forward to when it comes to the Cowboys, or give you just a different way of looking at this roster and how we're going to evaluate things. And so you and I have, you know, I don't want to say we're at the forefront here at Blogging the Boys of it, but I've not heard anybody else really pay as much attention to it. And that is the concept of surplus value. Ultimately, what a guy does on the field matters relative to how much he is paid to do that. Because when Dak Prescott's getting rookie money as a quarterback, then that performance, all of a sudden, like, it can be mediocre, but actually be much more valuable than what he's being paid. On the flip side of that, when he gets into the realm of making $40 million a year, or at least what his cap number suggests that will be the case, then the expectations are going to be very high that you can't really have a day off. You can't really have a game off. So we wanted to look at the roster for the Cowboys right now, the guys that are going to get paid and their cap hits for 2022, and see who are some of the players that we can reasonably expect, and maybe some of the surprises that we might not be considering, players that will outperform their contracts for the Dallas Cowboys in 2022. And then, of course, you know, because we will be realistic on this pod, we'll also look at some players who it's probably very unlikely that they outperform their contract value.
And can even underperform quite well. Now, I do want to say that for the purposes of this exercise, because I've written the companion article that should be up on Blogging the Boys for those that want to read a little bit more in detail. I kind of excluded Dak from this because quarterback's just a different animal, and either you're a franchise quarterback or you're not. And he is a franchise quarterback. I think we all know that the offense is going to go as he goes. And if he is healthy, I don't think we got any reason to be concerned. So we're not going to go into this. I also don't look at the draftees that were taken in the first four rounds. There are some guys that they picked up that I think we can mention because they're later round picks, but those first four round picks are all taken with the hope that they're going to be contributors. So we're not going to worry about those top picks because we know the team is looking for at least a couple of them to come in and start right away. They're hoping the others will provide some value very quickly. So we won't be talking about that. These are kind of the others. Now, the good news is there's only a couple of people that fall into that underperforming category. And that's just due to the nature of the fact that most of the roster, you know, we talk about the big dollar contracts, but those peter out pretty quickly when you look at the stuff at over the cap. And most of the guys are on low-cost deals just because that's how you have to build a roster. A few stars get the big money, and then everybody else has to split what's left of the pot. So there's only two names that I've got down that are probably going to underperform. And I want to say this. I don't blame either of the players. It's not their fault. It is because of the situation the Cowboys have put themselves in, and it's because of the big dollar contracts they get. And the first one is one that we've gone on about forever, and that's Ezekiel Elliott. Like I said, this is not a knock on the player. I think he's going to have a better year this year than he did last year. And last year wasn't as bad as everybody makes it out to be, especially playing with the injury he had for most of the season. It's just that he is so overpaid for his position. Running back should not represent 8.5% of your total cap. And that's what he represents because the Cowboys caved when he held out on them, gave him the big money. And it doesn't matter if he rushes for 1,700 yards, 100 yards a game average, he is still underperforming the money they're paying him.
Yeah. It's almost impossible for him to put up a season that I could fathom, that I could come up with, that would make this money worth it to his type of position. Just because, again, as we detailed with our boy, you know, Timo Riska from PFF, like running backs can provide that value or close to it at a much lesser clip. I mean, again, if you get half of Ezekiel Elliott's production for a running back that you pay just $1 million to, right? Well, then you've cut the cost by, you know, to about 5% of what you were paying previously, and you're still getting half of the value for it. Yeah. It's just impossible for Ezekiel Elliott to outperform that contract. And thankfully, that is really one of only a few. I might actually say there's three that I think will probably underperform their contract, but I'll share the third one with you after you go with your number two.
Yeah, the other one I came up with, a guy that is probably going to be in the Hall of Fame, I believe, and that's Tyron Smith. But his problem is just that he's been in the NFL for over a decade now. The wear and tear is catching up. He hasn't played a complete season since 2015. That's, you know, six in a row that he's been out there, been off the field for several games, missing almost all of 2020. And yet his contract is still at about 8.4% of the cap because the Cowboys signed him to a very long deal and have restructured him constantly over the years to find more cap space. I've just got a feeling that he's going to miss some time again this year, as you alluded to earlier. Backs don't get better. That's what he's having a problem with. And, you know, he is just in NFL terms, he's a senior citizen now. And so the money he's being paid is just going to be very, very unlikely he's going to live up to that.
And then the third player that, you know, I'm just going to throw it out there really as a discussion piece for you, because he's getting paid a lot this season and it'll ultimately determine whether he earns another contract, I think, with the Dallas Cowboys. That's Dalton Schultz. Schultz coming off a great year, right? Was a top five fantasy tight end, of course. And I shouldn't probably use that as a, you know, a relative association, but I think amongst the tight ends that you think of around the league that are great, you think of Travis Kelce, George Kittle, Darren Waller, Dalton Schultz. Is that where he slots in? Forgive me if there's some other, you know, higher end guys that I'm perhaps overlooking, but, you know, even at that top five, top eight range, is that worth $11 million at the tight end position when oftentimes you can find a guy for a quarter of that?
The fact that they spent one of their premium picks on Jake Ferguson indicates that the team is wanting to leave an opening so they don't have to keep Schultz around after he plays out the tag. I think it's entirely likely. And he could even find himself in the situation where they're giving Ferguson some of the snaps that Schultz would usually get if Ferguson pans out, just to kind of wean themselves off of Schultz and be set up to move on from him. So, yeah, that's probably another name to kind of throw in that.
Hi, this is Scott Galloway, professor of marketing at NYU Stern School of Business and host of the Prof G Pod. If you don't know me, the New York Times calls me the Howard Stern of business. Gary Swisher, super friggin' insightful, and Elon Musk, an insufferable numbskull. I think we're going to make up. I think we're going to go somewhere and do ketamine together. Each week on my show, the Prop G Pod, we bring you insights from blue flame thinkers, including my nemesis, Adam Grant. Super smart guy. My nemesis because he's really good. Or one of our favorite journalists, Fareed Zakaria. Fareed's a total gangster. And not only that, we provide listeners with a markets-driven episode every Monday. We answer our listeners' questions about business, big tech, and career pivots every Wednesday and get to listen to the sweet sound of George Hahn reading our newsletter every Saturday. That's right. The Prop G Pod is in your feeds four times a week. I'm like AOL in the 90s. To resist is futile. Put your hand into a box of cereal. Is it a tasty, sugary snack? Nope. It's the dog.
And by the way, you know, I still, like, even knowing right now where we stand, I still give Schultz that franchise tag. I still give him that money. But I think it's probably now more likely than not that he underperforms that contract. So there's the three that I think we detailed that, you know, pretty fairly. Zeke's pretty much a sure thing. Tyron Smith, I think, is a gimme as well. And Dalton's maybe, but now let's move to the positive side, right? There's a lot of players on this Cowboys roster that I think are going to outperform their contracts. And I'll start on this one with a player that you actually did not name. Forgive me if I overlooked it, but it's a player that I think is going to start to get a lot more hype as we get into training camp, and probably rightfully so, given his pedigree. Dante Fowler is just 2 years removed from an 11 sack season, and yet he's being thought of as a guy who, by the Cowboys, making just $2.5 million, is like on his last leg around the NFL. His total salary this season, including roster bonus, will be less than $3 million in terms of a cap hit. In my opinion, and, you know, not just my opinion, but from a value standpoint, if he gives you 6 to 7 sacks, he's paid for that, right? He's bought and paid for that over at $3 million.
Yeah, I guess I kind of look at the seasons outside of his one big year and think that's probably more likely what we'll see. But we'll see what Dan Quinn does with him. You know, we'll have to find out. He might be one. There's a couple of fairly obvious ones, I think, that we have to look at that are going to overperform their contract. And the most obvious has got to be Michael Parsons. You know, he's on a rookie deal. You know, he's less than 2% of the cap represented, even with the higher pay that first rounders get on the NFL rookie pay scale. And what else can he do, you know, other than maybe win defensive player of this year after being a unanimous pick for defensive rookie of the year last year? And he's healthier than he was last year. He played through a hyperextended knee all last season. If he is anything like he was last year, he is going to overperform what it's costing the team to get, and they're going to ride him, you know, for a couple more years. And then, you know, we have to hope that Stephen Jones doesn't screw it all up like he has done a few times recently with contract negotiations and poison the waters there. But yeah, Parsons is an easy and obvious one.
Well, the good news is they're playing it smart, keeping him as a linebacker for now, and should probably do that. Should probably continue to tell the world that he is a linebacker throughout his rookie season. And maybe if they need it, they could slap that franchise tag on him and get him at the linebacker franchise tag price, as opposed to the defensive end franchise tag price. Right, brother? Right? Yeah, a little smart money there.
And meantime, he's practicing with both groups, so that they're definitely got plans to use him in both roles.
Yeah, no, but they're going to make sure it is 51% linebackers just for that reason. And honestly, if they don't, they're kind of moronic. They should absolutely.
Because a linebacker can blitz as an effective pass rusher too. So
bingo.
More way to skin that particular
case. Yeah, so Micah Parsons, absolute guarantee, will outperform his contract. Next name on the list.
That would be Jayron Kearse, because he is this season, he is getting paid about the money that Parsons is, so it's not very much of a cap hit. He's on a 2-year deal. The second year, he's actually going to cost him twice as much. But on his current year, he should be a great bargain, because he has really been the unsung hero of the Cowboys defense, I think. He led the team in tackles, but he doesn't get talked about that much outside of kind of a circle of us that follow the Cowboys that are really high on him. I felt signing him to a new deal and keeping him in Dallas was the best move they made of the entire offseason. And he's even taken over at times the duty of being the on-field play caller, the quarterback of the defense, the guy that wears the green dot so that Dan Quinn is in his ear pre-snap. And I think he is going to be definitely overperform the money he's being paid. I think they got a real bargain with him, and I'm glad he was willing to stick in Dallas at what's a very team-friendly deal.
Mm-hmm. Another player who decided to stick in Dallas on a arguably team-friendly deal, Leighton Vander Esch at $2 million against the cap this season. More likely that he outperforms that than not, right?
Yeah, it's the thing of you can't really call him an underperformer because he came back so cheap. So you can't really underperform it tremendously. Color me not real optimistic about that, but maybe since he's playing for a chance to get another contract with Dallas or somebody else, maybe he'll come up there and show out. Now, sometimes this opportunity is something you just earn, and sometimes it's something that kind of happens to you. And that's where the next guy on my list comes in. That's Noah Brown. Coming out of the practices, the OTAs, was news that James Washington was in a walking boot, and Jalen Tolbert did not practice because he's still suffering from some injury issues. And that means that almost by process of elimination, with Michael Gallup not expected to be around for the first part of the season, Brown is probably going to be one of your top three wide receivers. If something happens to Tolbert, he could easily be the wide receiver two when they start the season. That may not be very encouraging, but this is his sixth season with the team. He played it through his full rookie contract and is now on his second 1-year deal. They're paying him just a little bit above the minimum. He makes about $1 million a year. And they obviously see something with him that they like. Now he's going to get more time with Dak Prescott. He's already got some familiarity with Prescott. And, you know, outside of CeeDee Lamb, he's probably going to be the guy at the start of training camp that Dak is most comfortable throwing to. So I think we could see him really turn out to overperform the cap investment and, in a sense, the draft pick, because I looked at that too on how they invested draft picks, because to me that's also just part of the formula. They're certainly tied together in Stephen Jones's mind. You know, how much does I hit the cap, and you know, what do we spend for them in draft? Because, you know, free agency doesn't matter for Stephen Jones, sadly, but that I really think that Brown could be a guy that could do some nice things this season. We might be very pleasantly surprised with him.
Yeah. One Brown, do expect him to probably overperform. The other Brown, Anthony Brown, $6.5 million. That one may be tough for him to for him to overperform that. But I agree with you. Yeah. Noah Brown's going to get every opportunity, and just making $1 million this season. Shoot, if he gives you 40 or 50 catches, that's probably more than worth it for that type of money.
Definitely. And on Anthony Brown, I just want to say, I don't think he's runs a risk of underperforming a lot, because he's a lot more solid as a corner than a lot of people realize. So, I think he's going to kind of probably be about at his value, which is not a bad thing. Mm-hmm. Now, the next one, though, if there's a guy I think that's going to be just an incredible bargain for what they're paying him, that's Terrence Steele. He's the heir apparent at right tackle. He's on the final year of a UDFA contract, which is as cheap as they get. Mm-hmm. And yet he is going to, you know, the plan is for him to be the starter now that they've said goodbye to Lel Collins. And the fact that they were willing to let Collins walk because of what they saw from Steele says that the staff has a lot of faith in him. A wise GM would be looking at, you know, if the staff really believes in him, they'd be looking at maybe trying to get him assigned to something before his price gets driven too high by the market. Unfortunately, we know that Stephen Jones kind of believes in the deadline makes deals thing. And so I don't think we're going to see anything happen. But, you know, those are some of the veteran players that Cowboys have that I think they're looking at, you know, even if it's kind of stretching it with Micah Parsons. And you had mentioned when we were working up on this that maybe Trevon Diggs needs to be thrown into that, because remember, he's just on the second year of a rookie contract, and he certainly third year, and he certainly balled out in his second year. Now, a lot of people may not think so, because I don't think there's any way he gets 11 picks this year.
No way. And I suppose it's possible, but it's more reasonable to assume that his numbers will come back down to earth a little bit. But
yeah,
but at 1.7 against the cap, that's
– And even if still he gets a long five way. Or six – even if he gets 5 or 6 picks, he's going to be at the top – of the interception rankings. So, you know, he can still be a good value. It's just a lot of people won't recognize as such, because they're just going to be looking at he didn't get a lot of picks. So, mm-hmm. you know, on that stuff. So,
well, I do hope though, like some of his coverage numbers will improve a little bit too, though, because he took a lot of risks to get those picks. And while that was beneficial, like a few fewer picks, but also a few fewer highlight plays from, quite frankly, a much better group of receivers, at least within the division that he'll be facing this season. I think those are things to keep an eye on for Trevon Diggs, but I do think he'll likely outperform his contract. Two other guys that I'm just going to lump in together because they kind of play right next to one another, Neville Gallimore and Oso Odighizuwa. Both of them making about $1.5 million a piece, because the Cowboys have never really valued those positions and they're both still on rookie deals, but they're coming to the place of their deal, at least Gallimore, right? Where finally coming into a season, crossing our fingers, hopefully fully healthy and no freak accidents like the elbow issue that he had right before the season started last year. But if he can come in fully healthy, he looked primed last season to take a big step. And if he's done any development this offseason, then I think it's very likely he outperforms his $1.7 million hit. And then Odighizuwa, I'm just basing that off of the fact that he outperformed it last year. He was worth more than $1.5 million last year, and I expect him to be worth more than that this year.
Yeah, Gallimore, I will definitely say, is possibly or maybe probably an oversight on my part. He's definitely a candidate to come in and make us very glad we've got him on the roster. Now, that leaves us with some rookies that I think have the best chance to come in and really be a great value, because they are playing on very cheap deals. And we're talking about people from the fifth round on.
Yes, I was going to say, Tom eliminated guys – from 1 through 4. And so everybody you name here, in order to get their money's worth, they've got to make the team. So you are somewhat putting your name on a couple of these guys here. but I'm excited to hear who you got.
Yeah, one of them is John Ridgeway. And this is because if he works out, and, you know, that is very much to be determined, but if he does, he's finally got the look of that actual nose tackle that the Cowboys have just kind of refused to do much to get. You know, they did get Quentin Bohanna last season, but he didn't light anything on fire. And he's going to be Ridgeway's main competition if the Cowboys do indeed keep one of those two big bodies to line up there in the middle of the defense. But if Ridgeway works out, then he is kind of by default the starter for most games, even though he's not going to play but maybe 30, 40% of the snaps, since he is basically a running down player. He doesn't show much flair for pushing the pocket on passing downs based on his tape at Arkansas. I believe Arkansas, yeah. But he would be a great guy to clog up the middle on running downs. So, and that would normally be what we'd expect to see rolling out the first defensive snap for the Cowboys. So he technically becomes a starter, and getting that out of a fifth-round rookie would be a steal. Sadly enough, it's just going to reinforce Stephen Jones's approach to defensive tackle, which is don't spend anything on it and hope that you strike gold.
Hey, well, if you can find him in the fifth round, I'll take that 10 times out of 10. Yeah. It's just the tough part is finding it there in the fifth round.
The other draftee that I'm thinking they might really get something with is Matt Wiletzko. And I don't think they're looking at him to somehow break his way into the starting lineup. But there, I think they really hope that he could turn out to be a swing tackle for a couple of years, with maybe a future of becoming a starter, which, you know, we're going to have to see how that develops. But if the swing tackle is a very important position in the NFL, because if you have a legitimate swing tackle, you only have to carry three tackles, and that saves you a roster spot, which can be used elsewhere. And so I think just doing that would be excellent return on the investment for him. Right now, it looks like Josh Ball might be ahead of him on the chart, but I did hear indications that it looked like they were giving Wiletzko a lot of work with Tyron Smith sitting out the practice. So that's an encouraging sign.
A lot of pieces to be looking at from a Cowboys perspective, and, you know, a lot of money when you do step back from it, right? They pulled back on the purse strings from a free agency standpoint, and you can kind of see why. Well, here's the opportunity now for several players to step up and play beyond those contracts, earn themselves another payday in the case of Leighton Vander Esch or even Ezekiel Elliott. Whether that means with the Cowboys or with another team is a conversation perhaps for another day. But as we look at the roster, and we will continue to do deep dives into it, we want to hear from you. What would you like us to take a look at? What would you like us to answer regarding the Cowboys offseason or their approach heading into the 2022 NFL season? From the offseason that catches your eye, by all means, please feel free to share that with us at RW3 on Twitter. You can hit him up again at Tom Ryle BTB, and you can follow all the great content at bloggingtheboys.com. We'll be back for you next Thursday. Stay riled up on the Cowboys. We'll see you.